Are you a financial advisor considering the Independent Registered Investment Advisor, or RIA, model and wondering where to start? Start with Schwab Advisor Services. Schwab has helped thousands evaluate the full range of options and can help you determine your best path forward. Navigate the big and small decisions by tapping into Schwab's decades worth of insights on what fuels RIA success. With Schwab Advisor Services, you have a custodian that will support you every step of the way. Start your journey today at advisorservices.schwab.com/paths.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Revived Thoughts is a production of Revive Studios.
This is Troy and Joel, and you're listening to Revive Thoughts. Today, we are celebrating 4 years of Revive Thoughts. That's right. This is our four-year anniversary this Absolutely. Month. On merely 4 years ago, we aired the very first episode of Revive Thoughts, and we're still going.
Kind Here of, we are.
I don't know if I'd call it a surprise. I mean, like, it is a little bit of a surprise to both of us. This is far our longest media venture so far.
If you can hear, by the way, I don't want to interrupt, but you can hear Indonesia is currently throwing a celebration for us. They've got drums, music. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm going to tell you it is. It's not that it's the end of Ramadan and that it is quite the wild celebration of that. No. It's Revive Thoughts is what I like to imagine this is currently for, right?
Yeah, Troy and I have been talking with each other for like the previous hour pre-show chatting, and it's been pretty wild out there. I've been hearing lots of what sounds like explosions, lots of drums being marched on, and we do have, I mean, I have a two-year-old that's baking pancakes down the hallway with his mom, who's also causing a lot of noise. So we're just gonna go with the flow, you know. There might be some booms, there might be some cries of a toddler, but the show must go on, you know.
It must go on. Speaking of going on, so 4 years of Revive Thoughts, and I was talking with Joel and saying, you know, if there's something that I could impart to this show, because a lot of you are new listeners. If you're not aware of how podcasts grow and you don't pay attention to things like that, that's okay. You know, I wouldn't have known a lot of these things and not that long ago either. But they grow. You can grow a show a number of ways. You can have a big advertising firm helping you. You can have a bunch of money or a big organization supporting you, or you can do these different, you can have a bunch of people giving you interviews because you're kind of famous. But Joel and I are not in any of those categories. So
nope.
The way we have grown is through listeners telling other people, hey, check out this show. And then we've also grown through, that's pretty much it. Actually, most of our listeners come through that, or come through, say, maybe one of our social media arms, probably Twitter these days. And we've had a lot of new listeners streaming in. It's very clear we have had a lot of new people streaming in based on reviews that we've been getting left on our Apple podcasts, and based on, our rankings. And we have ways of looking up our rankings and different things like that, and downloads and stuff like that. And it's really been crazy to see how many people, and just people reaching out to sending us messages and saying, hey, we love what you're doing. Yet, despite that, if you are a newer listener, you may not know and probably are not aware that this show is not run by a big organization or anything like that. It's really just run by Joel, myself, and all of you who volunteer to read the sermons for us every single week. And when we first started the show, this was not, it was not a winning formula for a show. I remember we talked with a group in podcasting, and they said, you know, like, what you're doing is kind of the opposite of all the rules of podcasting. You're completely reliant on volunteers to send you stuff. Like, that's a horrible strategy for building a thing, and you're doing a church history show, but you're not specifically with any one theological category, and you're doing all these different things. Like, what everything about your show on paper looks like it should fall apart, and yet you're successful. It was a curiosity to people, and it's been a curiosity to us as well. But it's definitely something that, like, if you did not know how we got started and what we were doing originally, it would be kind of I think it's hard to picture. It's hard for me to picture the world now without Revive Thoughts. And I think for a lot of people that listen, it's kind of true. It's like, yeah, this show's doing something that everyone should have been doing. And yet 4 years ago, nobody was really doing this, taking old sermons from the past, editing them, modernizing them, giving you a backstory with them so you know who they are, and then letting you listen to them with different voices so that it hopefully feels like you're getting a different guy every time. We had to think through each of those steps. Nobody had come up with this idea. Nobody was doing really anything like this before that.
Yeah. That wasn't the original formula for this. This show went through kind of various structures as we were thinking about how we wanted to present it. And how it's structured now was just one of them. And it's the one that, you know, in retrospect, we think is definitely the best way to do the show. But yeah, it confused a lot of people. In fact, that first year when we're trying to promote the show and circulate it, there's a lot of people that just did not understand what we were doing. And I'm glad our list, because that was our thinking, was that we just kind of had faith that these listeners, there's got to be people out there that are as curious about this as we are. There's got to be people out there that are as interested in this type of stuff as we are. And praise the Lord, we seem to have found you out in the wild, out in the real world. And the people that did understand it were, because that was the other thought we had, was because every once in a while we did find someone, especially like people in the industry that are very successful and have other podcasts and things like that, that would go, hey, that actually is a really good idea. Or people that would be like, I was thinking an idea like that.
Yeah.
And so we...
And a couple people, we don't talk about this, but there were a couple people who tried to copycat it too. We've had at least two or three...
Big companies.
Big attempts where they... I can pretty much tell you, I know that they did it. One of them, I can definitely know they did it because they used some of our speakers. That was about 2 years ago. And they had a bunch of people that were speaking for our show suddenly showed up on their show. And I'm like, there's no way you couldn't have known about it because those people would have told you. I've done the same thing for, you know, Revive Thoughts. So
the paper trail was definitely their tactic. We're not like bashing by all means. The more church histories out there, we're all about that type of thing. But it is neat to see. Imitation is the greatest form of flattery, right?
There you go. And it was interesting to me to see that they skipped the part where you edit the sermon, and they skipped the part where they give you the church history, specifically this one group that used some of our speakers, but and they didn't make it. And I think that's like, I get it. It sounds like it'd be so easy. Just read an old sermon. Not anybody can do that, right? But there's something about the old language that makes it hard to understand, I think. And there's something about getting that story. Who was that guy beforehand that just preps you to click with what you're going to listen to? I'm not saying that we're just super geniuses. I'm just saying that I think the whole package is just what helps the show reach the people that it's reaching. I know for me in my life, it's that whole combination that has made it so helpful.
Yeah, when Troy says edit, he's not talking about changing the content of the message. He's talking about just kind of modernizing the language a bit. Because again, if we're pulling a sermon out of the 1600s, it's going to be inaudibly King's English in a way that you will not be able to understand.
S's, like they didn't have an S back then. It was like an F. So you'd be reading a sermon and it would be like all these F's where an S should be. And it looks super weird.
Yeah, or a lot of the times, where we are having to get a sermon translated and it doesn't quite make sense the way that the sentence structure is. And so there's a lot of work that goes into formatting a sermon ready for the ears. And that's the other reason why we realized that this sermon or this type of podcast didn't exist, is because it's actually a ton of work to do. It seems kind of simple. You just kind of research someone, you talk about them a bit, and then you put together a sermon that someone can read. But Troy puts a tremendous amount of work into research and, again, modernizing the language to use in these sermons. And then on the technical end, which is my wheelhouse as far as Revive Thoughts goes, the editing front of getting everything put together, there's a good chunk of work. I don't know. How many hours would you say each episode takes, Troy? I'd say...
It depends on the sermon, because like if it's an easy sermon, like from the late 1800s and the guy spoke almost what would be like modern English, I can get that done really quickly. Mm-hmm. If it's a long sermon and it's from like the Puritan era where they like do 80 page sermons and you got to like wrestle through 80 pages of grammar and syntax that's like almost completely opposite of how we speak today. So you basically have to kind of like rephrase every sentence. Mm-hmm. So, you know, where we would say it's like, you know, be strong and don't be afraid. They would be like, be not away from courage and, you know, farther from that of fear. So it's like, I got to reword that so we can actually understand it. It's wild. So it really depends. There are sermons that have taken me, 20 hours over the course of like weeks to edit them easily on just one. And then there's sometimes where a sermon can take like an hour and a half. And I'm like, that was a straight through, really quick, easy peasy. And then that doesn't include the research. Then getting the episodes together, that usually takes a couple hours too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, the first, and I know some of our older listeners have heard this story before, but the first episodes of this that we recorded, we were in Florida at the time, and we didn't have a recording studio or a place to record because at that time, Troy was living in a small apartment, and there were kids running around, and so that was not an option. And so we decided we'd go around to different libraries and see if we can find like a study room in a library and record there. And I don't encourage you to go back and listen to the earlier episodes because the show has improved a lot. But those first few episodes were recorded in like study rooms at a public library.
And we went to 7 or 8 libraries before we found one. Yep. I mean, it was awful day. We thought this would be a super easy task, and it turned out to be mission impossible. Find a library with a quiet room.
A lot harder than we thought. Or like, you know, they'd have quiet rooms in air quotes, but there would be like an air conditioner duct that was blowing right on it that like sounded mm-hmm. awful. Or it was just like way too echoey and it sounded silly. So, you know, it makes sense. You don't usually, people that are putting quiet rooms in libraries usually don't have to prioritize the acoustic sound of it, or at least not back in that day. Nowadays, who knows? Because I feel like recording yourself is a pretty common thing, but they weren't designed to be sound studios back then.
And they definitely thought we were weird. They were looking at us like, what are you doing? Like, what? You're recording? Why? Oh, man. We definitely came across like weirdos. But that was fun. And this show definitely was not. And that's the other thing too. When we started this show, I thought, I know a lot about church history. I went to a Bible college. Hmm. I'm an intelligent guy. I've been educated. I've been doing things in ministry for a couple years. This will be super easy. I did not know how much, I didn't even have a concept of how little I knew about church history. And it's one of the reasons people sometimes are like, "Why? You know, you guys seem really passionate about this." I'm passionate about it because I had my mind blown mm-hmm. by how little I knew and how encouraging and edifying these stories were. And that was going to actually kind of be my opening point that I got lost a little bit on the way of telling was I did not know 4 years ago how much Revive Thoughts would mean to me and how much making these episodes, reading these old sermons and learning about who these people were, just how much that would impact my walk with God as well. You know, when we started this show, the original time we ever heard of this show, I was on a phone call with Joel while living in Hangzhou, China, and it was a list of ideas. And we both were like, hey, that's a pretty good idea. We like that one. We had done a podcast before, not good, and we had canceled it a long time ago. But we're like, that podcasting thing was kind of fun. Let's do it again. We had no idea a year and a half later we'd start making these shows would actually be coming out and people would be listening to them. And that was the thing too. People actually were listening, which was really impressive. But I had still no clue how much I still had to learn. And now, 4 years later, now that I know, I still feel like I have so much more to learn, so many more things I want to study and learn from church history. But now I'm just like, I want to get everyone else to the same place where I'm like, you guys, I want to get people on board and get you to learn these things because they're super interesting and they're encouraging. And they're the story of God's people over 2,000 years. And when you realize that famines, wars, disasters, persecution, illness, and all these different things have been done before and done well, you realize that you can get through what you're going through. You're not living through the first time Christians have had to go up against hard times. In fact, that's the norm through church history. And what we see is that it's actually very common for us to go through hard times. What did the people who look like who did it well, and what did they look like when they didn't do it well? And what were the things, the mistakes they made, and what were the things that worked very successfully? And how can we apply those ideas to our era? And how can we learn to emulate those strong, courageous non-compromisers? And how can we learn to, you know, suffer like them? And I could spend the rest of the episode naming the incredible people that we have studied on this show. And that I went, wow, because of learning about that show, learning about that person for that episode, mm-hmm. it's impacted my walk in a really positive way.
Yeah. Yeah. It certainly continues to be fascinating, interesting. I mean, I'm talking from my point of view. Like, that's 4 years later, I am more interested in more wanting to know and understand church history more than I was when we first started. Like, it has definitely been something that has grown in appreciation and a desire for. And that's good for the show, right? Because you got hosts that are genuinely invested and genuinely interested in what's going on. But it does, yeah, it does make you, there's comfort in feeling not alone. You know, this in our current geopolitical situation of believers, I feel like if you're just looking at the bubble that you're living in around the other believers that are around you or not around you, and that feedback loop and that, you know, echo chamber of what our current people are talking about, it can feel really isolated, really, I don't know, sad at times or depressing at times. And it's so helpful just to take a step back and go, it's not just about right now. It's about, yeah, what God's been doing over this whole time. And you're a part of it in a way. And the people that help build the platform that you're standing on here now are just as much a part of that and are there to encourage you in carrying on this torch that's seeking after the Lord and serving the Lord.
Yeah, actually, it's funny you say isolating, because that's actually one of the things that really stuck out to me from studying church history, is that when I was younger, when I had first graduated Bible college, very arrogant, I thought, I have all the answers. I look at the New Testament church and I look at the church in America today and I don't see those things adding up. And why doesn't it add up? And I was very frustrated and, you know, kind of all those classic things that some people go through. I certainly did. And I was kind of going through that, you know, just like frustration. Why doesn't the church look like it should? Why does the church look so bad? Blah, blah, blah. And that's not to put down those things. Obviously, the church should do a lot better job. I'm not saying that. But it was reading church history and seeing like, oh, like there are a lot of people who have these same beliefs and like who also stood up to the stuff of their day and said like, hey, this is wrong. And this is actually my beliefs, my ideas weren't alone. But then I look at them and I saw them. Where did they go? They went right to the pulpits and they went right into the church to preach to the local congregations. And I realized like, yes, I'm not alone, but the people I'm looking up to all got involved in helping that church live up to what I think it should be, not, you know, just frustrated or embittered or isolated. And that's just mm-hmm. one way where I went, man, you know, this, I appreciate the church history kind of rounded me out. Another thing that helped me out was I lived in China for 2 years, so we didn't really have opportunities to go to church. So that'll also make you appreciate the church more. But still, those two things together really kind of opened my heart and made me realize, like, I love God's people. I love gathering at the church. I love being a part of that. And I realized like I was going at it from the wrong perspective. But when you realize church history, you'll look around sometimes and you'll look at the church and you go, am I alone? This doesn't feel like it's supposed to look like this way. And then when you read church history, you go, I'm not alone. This is the way it's always been. There's always been people calling the church and pushing her to get back on track. And this is normal. And this has been normal for, you know, the whole purpose and the whole time. And sometimes it looks worse than others. But that idea of looking around you and going, man, I want this to look better. I want this to look more on fire for God. You're going to find a lot of people thinking that same thing when you study mm-hmm. church history. Just another kind of another direction, something else that's kind of cool just to mention. We don't talk about like our statistics, our stats, you know, every episode or how we're doing, because it's not like, not to be a distraction, but it's pretty cool that between Revive Thoughts and our other show that we kind of host, Martyrs and Missionaries, not kind of host, that Elise does it and does all the work for it. She does all
and
of it.
Elise is your wife for the
Elise
for
is my
for
wife
the people,
yeah.
For the record.
The new listeners, for the new guys.
Yeah.
Elise is my wife, and she wanted to do Martyrs and Missionaries about 2 years ago. She started that after kind of putting another show, Revived Radio, away, which was only open for only a few months, but it was a great show. And she This show has been very successful. Between these couple of shows we've been doing and between just kind of centering on these, we have about 700, a little over 700,000 downloads between these podcasts. Now, you might not know, is that a lot? How are we doing? Like, is that like considered a huge number? And the answer is, yeah, that's considered really, really good that these shows are pulling in numbers of those kind of magnitude. That's a lot of people would be very happy to have the kind of numbers that we have been putting out there. I'll put it that way. And according to Listen Notes, which is a public thing, you can go look it up. When they run our podcast against all the other podcasts that are currently active out there in the world, we are in the top 1% of all podcasts. That's just Revive Thoughts on our own. And that's pretty good, I think, considering we're a church history podcast. Reading old sermons is pretty niche, little show, yeah, you could
very
say.
Very specific
show,
audience.
Yeah, a show, you know, obviously a lot of people who are looking for sports podcasts aren't going to come to us, but the Christians that have come to our, to come to listen to our show have found that they have enjoyed what they're listening to and helped bringing us to that point where we can say we're in the top 1% of all the active podcasts in the world. That is, in my opinion, just absolutely kind of incredible to be able to, you know, be a part of something that massive. And I think another statistic is kind of interesting too, just throwing it out there, just the reach of what is our show doing and how are we reaching the world. And if I'm reading the numbers correctly, you know, you can find our show in at least 100 to like 120 different countries, and pulling like weirdly big numbers. Like, I'm looking at our stats, this number seems totally off, but like we had 1400 downloads come across from Ghana. Well, like, it's just wild. We have numbers like the Ghana, I mean, like, that's more than the people that were listening in Canada. Like, just crazy, the people that we're reaching, who's listening to our show and what's going on out there and stuff like that. So it's just kind of cool to see how the Lord has been using our podcast, just from a growth perspective, how many people have joined and been a part of what we're doing.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about announcements, future plans, goals. You know, obviously, we are excited to do another year of Revive Thoughts. We have no intentions of slowing down at this time. 5, 6, you know, let's do another 4 years. No problem, right?
Let's do it. If you elect us, 4 more years of Revive Thoughts in your feed. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. And Troy and I always kind of brainstorm about stuff that we want to do with the show. One thing that we were just talking about before we started recording, something that I would really like to do, almost for my own personal knowledge, as well as I think our listeners would really enjoy, is if we did an episode, maybe a two-parter, maybe like a part A and part B, because it's a lot of content to cover. But I really want to do a church history overview kind of crash course. You know, we talk about all of these speakers, these sermons throughout history, these men of God throughout history. But sometimes, at least for my brain, it's hard to keep track of how they play into each other, how they relate to each other, what eras, you know, feed into how that affected the following era. And I think it would be really nice if we just started in the, you know, the book of Acts, right? We got Paul planning these churches. Let's take it century by century and get up to the modern day. And, you know, we can highlight all these speakers that we've had on the show. And again, these people are involved in different theological movements, some for the better, some for the worse. But just laying out that structure, I think, would be really neat and would be a really nice resource to have. At the very least, an audio form. We've also talked about making maybe a video series in the future as well. Now, that's probably a little bit further off. But again, at least for how my brain works, I think that would be awesome to put together
a church history overview. Yeah, church history course or church history overview, where you're kind of starting from the beginning, not doing snippets and biographies, but doing more of the great general overview.
Something to tie all of these episodes together, because we have these snippets and eras that, you know, stretch 50 to 100 years or so. But how do they all relate to each other in the scale of the past 2,000 years? That, I think, is something we're going to have to get out here and prioritize here pretty soon. That'd be pretty neat.
Yep. Another thing, we have a vision. So pray for this listener. Someday Joel and I have always said, and you this is going to sound crazy, Joel, but we always said we just want to do a live event where we can just come together.
I knew that's
what
you were going to say.
It's because it's a dream, man. It's a dream. We want a live event where you guys can come and we can fill out a whole, I mean, if we get an auditorium, You know, we could probably fill up 3 or 4 seats. No, I'm just kidding. We could get we could get the whole group together and just talk and stuff like that. Now, the hardest part for that is obviously the fact that I live currently in Indonesia. So that's going to make it difficult. It's part. It's obstacle one. Obstacle two is getting people
who listen.
We'd have
to fly you in. Yeah.
And we fly our listeners in from Ghana as well. So it's going to be there's complications here. But we got to get everybody together and do something
That. Yeah. It would. And this is from day one was like, you know, it's cool to do this on a podcast, but imagine if we had someone rehearse. The speaker that comes to my mind every time we talk about this is Dustin Garrett, who did some of our initial Bonhoeffer episodes. But man, he's got such a fiery passion in the way he talks. He would be a great sermon narrator for a Revive Thoughts live event.
Yeah. No, that's something else. Like Dustin was this gentleman we knew from college. We asked him if he could read a sermon for us on Dietrich Bonhoeffer so early on. He had no idea. Revived Thoughts didn't exist yet. He had no idea what really we were asking, and we didn't know what we were asking either. That sermon, I mean, we've gotten so many messages specifically. It's Overcoming Fear by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, if you haven't listened to it. And like, I literally had a person write and tell me that sermon helped change her life, that she was going through a really hard time. And the summer that we put that sermon out, she heard us on an interview, listened to that sermon, and she said it just brought so much comfort and peace. And I know who this person is. I got to know her, and I would have never known that. Just things like that where it's like, wow. And then that sermon has been made a sermon jam by another group. And I'm like, how did this happen? How did this old sermon from the 40s that helped get revived turn into all? It's just amazing how the Lord has used some of the stuff that we are doing and how the Lord is currently, we got an email like that a month ago on a George Mueller sermon from the 1800s where someone said like that sermon really helped me. It's just super cool to be a part of something like this. Another sermon from, I think it was November, when a person said that sermon helped them do something. They had to deal with somebody that hurt their family in a way that's unspeakable. And they had to go see them face to face, basically. And they said, I didn't know what I was going to do. And when I heard the sermon this week, it gave me the answer I was looking for. Thank you for what you do. Just things like that, where it's like, how did, you know, these sermons are hundreds, 200, 300 years old. And God, thousands, some of them are really, really old. And the Lord is using them and is just continuing to move through them. And it's a huge blessing. So yeah, a live event would be super cool where we could let people kind of see these things happening and come to us, ask questions. I'd love to do like a church history conference weekend or something like that. So that would be super cool. Yeah. And then the only other thing I have planned, Joel doesn't know this, so surprise for the listener and Joel, okay. I've got the next deep dive picked out.
Oh, yeah, do you want to tell me and our listeners what it is?
Yes. So you know the Civil War.
I know of it, yeah.
You've heard of it. You've heard, now not the English Civil War.
Right.
And not the American Civil War.
Okay.
The Civil War of China, the amazing one that went on for 15 years that we've talked about.
Yeah, it's a wild, like 1900-ish?
1850 to 1865.
Okay.
It's wild. It is a crazy, crazy story. I'm not gonna fully tip our hand on this, but it involves a man who declares himself as Jesus's brother.
Yes, I've heard
that. And then leads the revolution and rebellion into a war that will cost 30 million people their homes and millions of people their lives. And I think that is a story that most people don't know about and we need to tell. So that's where I think our next deep dive should go. And I think it's going to be absolutely wild.
Awesome. Yeah. And for our Patreon members, they're already listening to our deep dive that we did on the London Fire and how that inadvertently uncovered a Catholic plot to overthrow the government. Wow, what that sounds curious. What on earth? You can listen to that if you're a Patreon member. Again, it'll eventually come to our public feed if you just want to be patient. But if you also want to support the show, you're welcome to do that over there at Patreon. It'll be in the link in the description.
There you go. Link in the description. Now, I will say, now, if we're wrapping up here, this show has been really encouraging to my faith. When we started publishing them, I was in Miami, Florida, lived in Kansas City, lived in Cambodia last year, now in Indonesia, where we're staying. We're not going anywhere. Indonesia's great. A little loud at the moment, but otherwise it's pretty great. But it's been a real constant, and it's been something I cannot tell you how many times the stuff learning that I've been learning or working through or the things that I've been thinking through in life have learned stuff in church history that's been super duper useful. But we would not be able to do this if we did not say thank you to some really important people. First, thank you, Patreons. You are extremely helpful in keeping this show going. You may wonder, you know, is it really, it does matter. It does mean something. We are completely listener funded, if that makes sense. Like, we don't have, again, we don't have an organization. There's no church that's running this. There's nothing like that. So if you aren't listening and helping out, there's nobody who can. So we're really grateful to you, Patreons. We try to give you guys the deep dives and other stuff as a way to say thank you. But to be honest, I don't feel like that's enough of a thank you for your help. So know that we are really appreciative, and you are the unsung heroes that keep Revived Thoughts and Martyrs and Missionaries going. The other thank you.
Yeah, real quick. I mean, I don't know what we would do without the patrons. Like, we cannot support the show on ad revenue alone. Like, it just doesn't make enough money. So we would have to figure out what we would have to do. We'd either have to shut down the show, or we'd have to start paying out of our own pocket.
We'd have to become way better businessmen. And that's
right.
That's another thing we might have to do.
Right.
But
right now the Patreons pay the bills that keep the lights on in this. The services that it takes to run the bandwidth to put the show out is thanks to the Patreon. So it is quite physically and literally allowing the show to happen. So thank you so much.
We appreciate you. The other group that we need to thank is the speakers. We could not do sermons if people did not read them. And I feel like they're also unsung heroes because, you know, we do this editing and stuff, but we, you know, when we add the hours of how long it takes to make an episode, we don't include the recorders who have to spend an hour sometimes, or sometimes they have to do multiple takes because there's audio problems, or just because it's a hard sermon. They sometimes bring amazing sermons to life that would be really hard for you to realize how amazing they are. And you oftentimes the episodes that you listen to and went, wow, that was really incredible. It's because the speaker brought it to life so often, and they really helped you feel like that sermon was alive again. So we're really grateful to all those people, especially the multiple speakers, the ones who come back on. Like we said, when we started the show, we only had a few episodes together, and we said that, like, if God wants the show to keep going, he's going to have to bring us the speakers. And here we are 4 years later. And sometimes getting the speakers together is one of the harder parts of the show. But here we are 4 years later, and the Lord has kept us going. And it's just been really a blessing that people have jumped in and said, let me lend my voice to history. And of course, if you're hearing that and thinking, maybe I want to do that, you can reach out to us on email, revivedthoughts@gmail.com, and you might be able to be on an episode with us in the future. So
yeah, and these are volunteers. Again, they don't get paid like this. They're doing it out of the kindness of their heart.
Just as much as we do, Joel. They are. Wait.
That's true.
We're all getting paid the same here. But yeah, we're really appreciative. And then the last group, of course, is to quote what every like PBS documentary as a kid, the viewers like you. You who are listening right now, if you were not listening to the show, if downloads were not doing so well, if so many people weren't hearing about it, the show wasn't growing and reaching so many people, I don't know that I would have the time to take all these hours away from my family and away from my busy schedule to do it. But it's easier to do it, certainly. And it's a lot more fun to do it when I know there are a lot of people out there listening and waiting and enjoying this show and enjoying this content and reaching out and commenting and leaving responses. I mean, it's incredible. And I'm always nervous to say this because I feel like any day now I'm going to say this and somebody's going to go put you in your place. But somehow after 4 years, we still have a perfect 5.0 rating on Apple Podcasts with 163 ratings currently in. That is incredible. Nobody does that. I mean, it's just wild that we have that high of a rating after 4 years. That's not to say people haven't given us less than 5 stars. It's just there's not enough of them to impact our overall rating. That is unbelievable. So to not only be in the top 1% of podcasts, but to do a show where we talk about church history, where we talk about different theologians that people totally disagree with and can get upset by. And there's so many little like red flags and hot topic buttons that we barrel right through. And somehow we've managed to not, you know, that the Lord has allowed us to continue with 5 stars through all that is just unbelievably surprising and very cool.
And I think that speaks to our community a little bit, because we do occasionally, and we understand that this is part of it, occasionally get a disgruntled writer and, you know, someone that'll write in disagreeing with a speaker or something like that, which we totally understand. We often say that, like, if you were to get all the people that we cover in the show into a room, there would probably be a fist fight. Like they would not get along very well at all.
I love these people. I don't know that there's certainly some of the people we've covered on the show. I would not go to their church if it was down the street.
Right, right. But I mean, and you understand our where we're coming from, to where that doesn't mean that there's stuff that we can't learn from them, good and bad. But even the people that want to make it clear that they have an issue with something, I do feel like it is still in love. It's still part of a community. It's not, we don't have a lot of people that are trying to burn us to the ground or trying to sabotage us. I think that's evidence of, we do have a body of believers. There is the Spirit unifying us together, to where we understand we can have our opinions, and have our preferences, but at the end of the day, it's Christ that unifies us, and we all have that in common.
Really well said. And actually, I think that's a great kind of note to end this on the show. Between Rye Thoughts and Martyrs and Missionaries, Elisa's show, all of this started 4 years ago. And another thing, and what I learned and that the Lord has used, is that just despite the fact that we're coming from different places, despite the fact that there might be things that we disagree on, it's pretty prevalent and pretty clear that God has united his people across history. And when you listen to a couple of people who disagree, you don't see it. But when you see the full scope of church history, you can just see how much God has used his people in different ways, but preaching his cross through all these different sermons. And so it's been a real blessing to be able to make this show for 4 years. And as Joel said, four more years. Keep coming back for us, and we'll keep going for at least four more. This is Troy and Joel, and this is Revive Thoughts.
Six months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. Prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why My Lowe's Rewards members get a free paint or exterior stain sample to test your look and find the perfect color to confidently refresh your space. Lowe's, we help, you save. Offer valid in-store only, 5/8 through 5/14. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.